continues. In verse 4, God explains what this might look like and how serious this command is to him. This is what it says. You shall not make yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for 1,000 generations, those who love me and keep my commandments. Exodus 20:4-6. Part of the reason that we're not supposed to make an image of God is partly because God has already made one. When you have these idols, when in the past when they had these idols, they're images of what their gods looked like. But God already made an image of himself. Don't believe me? Well, let's look at what God has to say about that. And it comes from the very beginning of it all, Genesis 1. Let's look at Genesis 1:26-29. And I'll give you a minute to turn there because I think this is very important to look. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock, and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. An image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, and every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you the seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food, and all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath, the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God created us in his image. And when we have idols in our life, we're not taking God, we are taking God out of the place that he's supposed to exist in our lives. But even more than that, we're taking ourselves out of the special place that he's put us. And it's a very unique relationship we have with God. It's personal. It's in a lot of ways beyond understanding and description. And when you think of our relationship and what idolatry is, more in this relational sense, that's more what modern idolatry looks like. It's taking ourselves out of this relationship. In this series, we're talking about the several gods or idols in our lives that break this healthy relationship that we're literally created to have with God. And the first small g God that we're going to talk about is important. It's important because it breaks this at the very foundation. And that small g God that we're starting with is the God of success. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking right now. I'm good with this. I'm not Bill Gates, Oprah, and for the younger among you, PewDiePie. Exactly. Heck, I'm not even successful enough to be the boss at my job. And that's probably true. I mean, I definitely can vouch that, in fact, Bill Gates, Oprah, and PewDiePie are not here. unless you have amazing disguises. In fact, no one that's a celebrity that I recognize anyways is here today, which would have been pretty cool because if Bill Gates showed up, the offering would be kind of amazing this week. But here's the thing. You don't need to have any of that. You don't have to have money. You don't have to have the followers. You don't even have to have a recognizable name in order to fall victim to the God of success. Let's think about this for a minute. What are your goals in life? Seriously, think about it. Bring up in your mind what your goals in life are. Some of you may have very formal set goals. Reach X point by the time X happens, and I must do X to get there. Some of you may be as loose as, I have these three things that I want to do before I retire or whatever, and I just have to kind of walk in this direction to get there. Now, I'm pretty sure that none of you are Hannibal Lecter, and your goals are, I'm going to have 43 human livers before next week, or, you know, none of your goals are inherently evil, I'm sure. And most of them are probably pretty admirable. They're lofty. I want to do this in my life. But now let's think about what's driving those goals. What is giving you the desire to achieve that goal? What's the source of it? Let's think on that for a few minutes while we move to a biblical character that had an issue with the God of success, the rich young ruler. And we're going to be reading from Mark 10, 17 through 22. As Jesus was starting on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down, and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," the man replied, "I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young." Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. "There is still one thing you haven't done," he told him. "Go and sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. The rich young ruler was like many of us here today. He had followed most of the commandments and probably did so with ease. I'm pretty sure most of us don't have an issue with murder. If you do, we'll have a talk afterwards. Maybe I'll have three people on my side and one on yours. Just. But that's the problem with the God of success. Even following the commandments can become another check mark on the way to becoming successful. This is why I stressed at the beginning when talking about what idolatry is in the first commandment and how it needs to be followed, I had to emphasize the relationship between us and God. Because when that relationship is broken, when you put something in the place of God in your life, even when you're doing it for something, for a good reason, for something right, it can end up being for the wrong reasons. So let's go back to that goal that we talked about. What if God showed up today and he said, give it up? You're not going to do that anymore. I'm sure it was a good one. But God said, nope. This isn't for you. What would you do? Would you go away sad, just like the rich young ruler? Because you have a lot to lose? Now, God may not show up audibly or physically right now, but there are some questions we can ask ourselves to help us understand if we're putting our own success in the way of what God has for us. Do these goals get prioritized above things like church, family, and devotional time? When you're going through these things, do you look and it's like, well, just this week, I won't go to church, or just this week, today, I'll just skip my devotional time right now. This thing came up, it's really important to me. It's really important to the goals in my life. I'll just skip it. Or I spend time with my family all the time. I'm with them. I sleep, we live in the same house. I don't need to be, this time can wait. I don't need to be at family game night or whatever. Who defined the goal for you? Was it God or yourself? What is driving you towards the success? Is it God's glory or your own? Now, I can't answer any of these questions for you. And maybe you can't even answer them for yourself right now. And that's fine. But if that's the case, then you should definitely spend time in prayer. Maybe even fasting about these goals. We can't know what God wants for us if we have never had a conversation with him about it. I mean, seriously. Did you ask God if that goal was what he wanted in your life? It may be yes, but it might not be. Now, I know I've already told my testimony and how God brought me to the place that I am right in front of you today. But I will say I had to battle with the God of success myself during the time leading up to it. I had to ask, what is God's goal for me? To be a successful programmer, living near my family, having that white picket fence and the wife with 2.5 children. The American dream, right? Not for me. I mean, all of that stuff is good, but that's not what God wanted for me, at least not right now. I had to realize that God had other plans, goals, and other ways of measuring my success. I had to be willing to let all of my goals, plans, and desires go to be able to see the true blessings that God had for me. Let's read what Jesus had to say after the rich young ruler left. Mark 10, 23 through 31. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?" This amazed them. But Jesus said again, "Dear children, it is very hard to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were astounded. "Then who in the world can be saved?" they asked. Jesus looked at them intently and said, "Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God." Then Peter began to speak up, as he's known to do. "We've given up everything to follow you," he said. "Yes," Jesus replied, "and I assure you that everyone who has given up house or brother or sister or mother or father or children or property for my sake and for the good news will receive now in return 100 times as many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and property, along with persecution. And in the world to come, that person will have eternal life. But many who are the greatest now, who are the most successful now, will be the least important then. And those who seem least important now, least successful now, will be the greatest then. Emphasis added by me. When we follow our own goals and search for our own success, we are the exact person that Jesus is talking about in verse 31. But many who are the greatest now will be the least important then. In God's eyes, the greatest success that you could ever achieve, the greatest monument, the milestone that you could have in your existence is on the day you die, Jesus says to you, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." We can get there. It's not impossible. But it's impossible without giving up everything for God. The practical way for going about this is taking that goal that we all have in our heads now and going to God with it. Asking the question, "God, is this your plan for me? Is this what you would call success in my life? Is this one of the milestones that you have planned or that you want me to hit?" The rich young ruler wasn't asking these questions. The only one he asked is, "What must I do?" Do you see the self-centeredness that's buried in that question? Do you see the pride that's buried in that question? What can I do to get to the place that you want me to, God? And Jesus was like, "Well, you can't." Not without God's help, not without what God has for you, not without following God's plan for your life. Do you find yourself asking the same kind of question of God? What must I do to get on your good side, God? It's not about what God can give us. It's about what we can give up for God. The rich young ruler, he wasn't willing to ask these humbling questions. And I'll ask the worship team to come up. And I want to let you know that the altars are open. If you'd like to step out and ask these questions of God. To ask God, what is your plan for my life? I don't want my plan. I don't. Remember, you may not get an answer right away. God doesn't always give us a green light, a red light, but sometimes he gives us a yellow light. A slow down, a wait, keep praying, keep waiting for the answer, and keep preparing to follow whatever path God has put in front of you.